This is We Are Jet. Hello and welcome. My name is Ed Palmer. On this podcast, we tell the stories of people who've had to drastically readjust their mindset, team culture, and ways of working, all to match the pace of a rapidly changing organization. In today's episode, the story of Terence Guymo, Global Director of Inclusion, Diversity and Belonging at Just Eat Takeaway. Terence tells us more about how diversity and inclusion should be an integral part of any organization, how organizations should approach it, and how it leads to better decision making. We hear about the roles that leadership and data play in inclusion, diversity and belonging, and how that should translate to a work environment. Much to hear, much to digest. Let's dive in. So Terence, tell us a little bit more about you, about your background, why ID&B is important to you, how you found yourself in ID&B itself as a sector. Tell us about you.
Thanks a lot, Ed. Well, live in the Netherlands, but was born in Suriname. And when I was 14, I moved to the Netherlands, which was, of course, a very interesting journey, but something we can definitely discuss later on as well. Studied information technology, and after that, business administration. Worked as a IT consultant. So actually, I wanted to make the switch from IT to more, how do you connect more with people and focus more on also the connection between IT and business. But somehow, constantly, I was being dragged into IT. So started as an IT consultant, switched to IT auditor. And that's where I really said, okay, now I need to get rid of that IT label. Because I definitely want to be more involved in people-related things. And when I started in a social insurance company, I saw that the management of the company wasn't very diverse. At least there was nobody who was a reflection of me.
Yeah.
And especially in a social insurance company where your customer is the whole society, I couldn't understand that they were not a reflection, because how do you kind of step into the world of your customers and understand what's going on there, what is important for you? And that's when I started a network for cultural diversity in the Netherlands. And at a certain moment, I thought, this is so cool to do. So I would really love to do this as a full-time job. And that's the moment where I switched to PwC, worked there for 6.5 years, fully dedicated to inclusion, diversity and belonging over there. And 3.5 years ago, almost going to 4 years, by the way, switched to Just Eat Takeaway, where I had the opportunity to build the whole strategy around inclusion, diversity and belonging for the global organization.
Okay, so you were pretty young when you set up your network, I'm presuming, looking at you. Was inclusion and diversity a major issue for large organizations at the time? Because it feels like not a new phenomenon. Obviously, the issues behind it have been around forever. But as an idea, it's relatively new. Was it around when you started the network?
There were a few organizations that were already doing that, like PwC, ABN AMRO, the bank in the Netherlands, that were already for a few years working on this topic, mainly gender diversity. And at a time when I kind of came in, ethnicity, cultural diversity, as we call it more in the Netherlands, was one of the topics that was starting to get more important. But it was very, very new for a lot of companies.
Okay, so let's talk about Jet, your move to Jet. Why did you join Jet?
It's a younger organization, a combination of so many different brands, countries, but therefore also cultures. And a lot of the things are still in development, because the organization grew so extremely fast. But that's exactly where the excitement is for me. I love opportunities and I actually love change as well. And I know change is not for everybody always that fun, but I always try to seek for the opportunities in change. Yeah, that's where this journey for me was and still is such an amazing journey, because I'm part of that change, but I'm also kind of the creator of that change in the organization.
Okay, so you're the creator. Let's have a discussion about what it is that you've created. Can you give us like a broad top-down overview of Jet's ID&B strategy, and then maybe unpack a little bit about what that means for you on a day-to-day basis?
Yeah, and of course, let's not make things too big. I'm not the person who changes everything in the organization, but there's a part where I try to build upon the change, and especially for the better, because if I look at a strategy of an organization, and I would say that's maybe my main thing and how I look at a topic like inclusion, diversity, and belonging. And by the way, I'm also responsible for well-being in the organization since the beginning of this year. How I look at this topic is especially, it's all very strategic. So for me, it always starts with a strategy of an organization. What is the why? What is the what? And then what is the how? And topics like ID&B, well-being are connected to the how of the organization. So really the culture of the organization. For me, that's exactly also where I started. So better understand what is the organization aiming for. So yeah. Our vision is empower everyday convenience. And then we have three clear pillars. The first one is choice and value. The second one is experience and efficiency. And the third one is people and planet. And I want to make sure that ID&B is connected to those three pillars in the organization. And that also means it needs to be connected to what the how of an organization is, and that's the three values that we have: lead, deliver, care. And that's where I immediately make the connection. And that's also how I build up the strategy. So actually three pillars there as well, mainly because a lot of people can easily remember three things.
Yeah. The power of three.
Exactly. So lead by example to achieve the ID&B and well-being mission. That's the first pillar. Leadership needs to go first. We need to hold them accountable. It's all about data and how do you monitor that. The second pillar is deliver an inclusive environment, which is more around how do you make sure that all our processes and policies are inclusive in the organization, yeah. But also how do you create more awareness, but also empower people to have the sometimes very difficult conversations. A topic like ID&B, well-being, it's not always about being comfortable. It's something quite often getting more comfortable with being uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And then the third pillar is around care about everybody's story, well-being, and belonging. And that's more about transparency, sharing the journey that we're on, but also hearing everybody's story to understand how do we take better decisions in the organization. Because I always think everybody has a story. And with those stories, we can build things. And it doesn't mean with each story of every person, you need to kind of approve that and make sure that that's also embedded. It's more we've listened to all those different perspectives, and how do we take those different perspectives into consideration to take a decision?
I think that gives us a really clear idea of how you're going about building your strategy or how you've gone about building it. How about why? I mean, I think from a cultural or social perspective, it's really easy to understand why diversity, belonging, inclusion are important. But what's the business case?
It's actually very simple, because if you don't step in the world of your employees, your customers, the partners you're working with, actually any stakeholder you're working with, how do you translate that to the strategy of your organization and actually also to the needs of the products, the services that you deliver? And that's kind of my way of how to approach this topic. So also connected to your question around the strategy, what I see a lot of people in the inclusion, diversity, and belonging space doing is creating a strategy around those diversity dimensions. So gender, ethnicity, etc. And I definitely want to take that approach differently, because I could always forget something. So my strategy is more focused on how do we embed it in the organization. So things like leadership, data,
yeah.
Awareness, etc.
I'm going to say something that's potentially quite stupid now, but I think delivery of food has a really important role to play in the increasing understanding of diversity within a social group, because food is a kind of way we dip our toe into other cultures, isn't it? It's a kind of like an entry point or a door,
yeah.
The way we integrate with other cultures.
Exactly. And I love the thing around food, because food, first of all, it connects. And a second part of food is also, almost everybody, I would say, loves to experience different flavors and try to experience things. And I would almost say it's, if you want to understand what customers find important and which kind of food they like, it's also important to understand that landscape.
Yeah.
And bring that back to your business. So a very simple example for me always is during the Ramadan, for instance, how do you make sure that you promote your halal offers on the platform a little bit more? Or for instance, which restaurants can deliver during an iftar? I think those are already very simple connections to the diversity and at the same time, the business of the organization.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. Okay, so coming up to 4 years at Jet, your biggest challenges, your biggest achievements, let's unpack a few of those.
Yeah, that's a good one. Where do you want to start?
Let's start with challenges and then we'll dip into achievements.
Okay, cool. In terms of challenges, I think number one is the fact that a lot of things were not on a global level. So I also had to sometimes wait a little bit until things are on a global level. For instance, very simple thing, policies. So think of HR policies. And I think also maybe good to address, when I talk about policies, I talk about policies in the broader sense of an organization. So not only HR related, because I know a lot of people connect IDMB to HR specifically and people, but for me, it's everything. Your communication process is also an important process that should be inclusive. Your sales process needs to be inclusive as well. Marketing, etc. So for me, it's very important that I know where I can start. And if everything is on a local market, it's very difficult for me because we're based in 19 markets. I don't have people in my team in all these markets. So that's quite a challenge. So I really had to understand, how do you deal with things being local while actually I need that global landscape. Yeah. I already shared the fact around the different cultures that we have in the organization. Some countries are quite ahead of inclusion, diversity, and belonging. Other countries are less aware, I would almost say. And how do you bring those two worlds together while some will really need to step up and others are a little bit more like, okay, and what has changed and what is the thing that you're improving for me right now, because it feels rather a step back than a step forward. And I think that was one of the big challenges as well. And also, how do you bring the different thoughts about a topic like IDMB all the way to the top of the organization, and especially kind of embedded in the strategy of an organization? I felt that there was still a little bit like, what is he trying to do, actually? We're a food delivery platform, or actually a delivery platform, because we don't only sell food. We deliver things in a fast way. That's actually what we are. And we have an app and a website. Those are our products. And a whole logistic network around us. And those things are the core of our business, actually. And what does IDMB then has to do with that? And why does that need to be part of the strategy? That was quite a challenge in the beginning.
So what was your response to that? Say you said to somebody who had some reticence around this that you want to embed IDMB into marketing, into sales. How did you go about doing that? Can you unpack that a bit?
Yeah, of course. So first of all, it quite often helps when you come with an example. So the example that I gave you around halal, but for me, it's also an example. Marketing is a very important area because we want to attract people to our platforms. So I'm always interested, okay, who are we attracting currently and who are we not attracting currently? And how do we get a better knowledge about the group that we're not attracting? And of course, you can still also focus on the group that you're already attracting and how can you improve things in that area as well. But let's say we're going towards the group of that we're not connecting with yet. And how do you improve that? And that means understanding who are they? What are their needs? How do they think? How do they connect with a platform as ours, et cetera, et cetera? And when I started with the strategy, I started with asking the most senior people in the organization, what is the one thing that keeps you awake at night? Because I'm quite convinced that anything that you will say has something to do with inclusion, diversity, and belonging. Whether it's the revenue, whether it's challenges in the software system or anything, has a connection with the topic because it's always kind of stepping into each other's world to better understand what's going on.
I can see that, expressing that perspective probably was challenging for some people to hear that. Like it is a new way of thinking around it, I think. What about successes then? What are the punch the air moments, your achievements?
Yeah, I think the biggest one that I'm proud of is that IDMB is part now of the strategy of the organization. And that makes things so much more, I would almost say makes it more easy in the sense that that means people understand that it's important. And also I'm being invited for important meetings to make sure that we understand what's going on. A second part of a big success is we've launched gender ambitions and targets in the organization. And what does that exactly mean? So by the end of 2025, per job level, we created gender ambitions. Where do we want to stand in terms of the ratio male-female on each job level? And that's being impacted by three targets. And that's number one, hiring. Second one is promotion. And the third one is turnover retention. And what we created is that on each of these three elements, we need to make sure that it's 50-50 for male and females in the organization. And it's a very challenging thing. I know a lot of people struggle with ambitions and targets in these areas, but I feel that's the only way to create progress and action to really change things in the organization. Because a lot of people still think, no, it's just the availability of women or it's about their ambition level or whatever, or they are not coming to our organization. No, it's always a two-way street. And unfortunately, there's unconscious bias in there.
Okay, so we're gonna come back to that notion of unconscious bias shortly. October is Black History Month. I'm going to ask you to speak about the importance of Black History Month to you personally and also more broadly. This year's theme is reclaiming narratives, and we'll come to that again. But can you tell us a little bit about why Black History Month is important to you personally?
Yeah, definitely. So different parts. So first of all, I'm a black guy. That's where it starts. So visibly, people see that I have a specific skin color. And based on that, you have experiences in society. And not only for myself, it's also for the people around me. And that's the second connection. I grew up in Suriname. I was born there. And since I was born, I was confronted with the fact that our ancestors were made to slaves. And I think that's a very important part to also understand how that impacts my life immediately. That means we look at the world with a different lens. My parents always said you need to work twice as hard to make sure that you will be successful. And then we also made the switch to the Netherlands. And the Netherlands and Suriname has a very important connection because Suriname was a former colony of the Netherlands. And I think also in that part, it's good to understand that in Suriname, we were taught everything about the Netherlands and how everything went during the slavery time. On the 1st of July, we still and will always probably celebrate the fact that freedom was created because slavery was ended on the 1st of July, 1863, officially 1873, because it was 10 years still going on before it officially ended. So that impacts my whole life experience looking at the world. And when I came to the Netherlands, there was hardly no education about that. And that was so interesting for me to see. And that's also one of the things that still drives me, where I think it's so important to understand history as well, so that you understand what the influence of that is. And then also connected to my work, of course.
That perspective on Black History Month that you've just mentioned is really interesting to me. It's not something I've considered before. It's an opportunity, I guess, for everybody to learn more about Black history. Is that how you see it?
Yeah, definitely. Because I think a lot of people might think Black History Month, oh, that's a month that Black people need to celebrate. Also, I kind of refer to women's events. Of course, it's a great moment that people can come together, but it's especially learning about these experiences and create more awareness for people around these topics. And that's more actually for white people in that case than that it's for black people, because they already experience it and they already thought a lot about the history. So it's more, how do you bring all those people in so that all of us can learn from it? How I always describe it, we're living in a racist system. And I know that for a lot of people, this sounds very hard and very difficult. First of all, let's make the distinction between the collective and the individual. So I'm talking about the whole society, that we're living in a system. I'm not saying that one person is a racist. That's a whole different conversation.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people immediately feel like, oh, you're calling me a racist because I'm white or because whatever reason. And I think it's important for people to understand, no, the system that we're living in has those elements that exclude people of color, black people, which make things very difficult. And for me, it's the same with women. We think that quite often everything is equal. But if you look into the details, a lot is based on men in society. And that's the same actually with racism and being black, being white. We're not constantly taking both perspectives into consideration.
Terence, I think anybody listening to you there can't deny that we are aware, firstly, that human beings are very good at inferring meaning. So getting away with saying something without explicitly stating it. We've all seen that innumerable times. And also that notion that people mean well, but the impact is negative. How do we change the system? How do we affect systematic racism? What are the solutions to this obviously significant and fundamental problem?
On the one hand, I would say, oh, very simple. We just need to have more empathy for each other. But that's too simple, because if that would be the case, it would have already happened. And that's why I say we need a more strategic approach. So from an organizational perspective and changing things in a whole society is very difficult. I'm not a person who would really like to be involved in politics, in all honesty. I'm more a person who loves to be in an organization and manage things from a strategic perspective. So I immediately go to the strategy of an organization, because that's where you can have the most impact. Those are the things that we find important in an organization, and that's how we drive change. So that's why I built that strategy and also created a system around that, that it's not just for a specific event that we can create more inclusion. So for instance, oh, we need to have a picture of a few people. Yeah, we need to make sure there are females on it. There are people with different colors. There's a person in a wheelchair. Amazing. But that won't change the system. It's definitely important to make sure that the representation is there, but it's everything underneath. And that's why I try to build things in the organization so that it's embedded. And that's also why I said policies in an organization are for me very important. The way that we approach our partners, or the way we approach our customers, or want to attract our customers, is very important to create such a process in a way that we are quite sure that we can connect to everybody and not just to one specific target group.
Brilliant. Thank you very much. Okay, so this year's Black History Month theme is reclaiming narratives. We might have touched on this already, but how do you connect that to your work, to what you've been doing at JET?
Yeah, I think the fact that there's so much going on in how people see the history around, for instance, slavery. And this is constantly happening, and it's still happening in different areas around the world. Where I think that we still think it's something that, one, on the one hand, happened in the past,
yeah,
or secondly, that it doesn't have anything to do with skin color or, you know, the way we look at people. I think it has everything to do with them. And I think that's especially the part where I think we need to reclaim that narrative, to make sure that how we look at things should be different now. We need to create a narrative where every single person is being part of it, and that we can understand that having conversations about these things are very important, and also to create change, but it starts all with that narrative. And that's, for instance, how I built a clear narrative in our organization, how you look at a topic like inclusion, diversity, and belonging. And I think that's something we constantly need to do in these areas to understand that the way you talk about something immediately impacts the outcome. And in organizations, when we have performance reviews, it's always dependent on how we talk about those people. So for instance, talking about a specific person and we start with an amazing guy and, you know, unbelievable what this person has achieved and such an innovation and always on time, et cetera, et cetera. And then we talk about a second person and there all of a sudden we start talking about, well, actually, I don't know it. I didn't see that person very often and all these kind of things. Well, I can immediately tell you which direction the first one will go with the performance rating, probably very good, and the second one, less good probably. But do we have the facts or is this more based on my personal view? And I think it's so much more important to have the facts. And then underlying is also the thing, did both people get the same opportunities? For instance, the first person maybe got all the visible projects and the projects that are connected to the strategy of the organization. While the second person, projects that we don't find that important, of course needs to be done, but less important. So nobody's really looking at it, or especially not with a bigger lens to look at what's exactly happening, how much is it bringing up for the organization, etc. And I think that immediately impacts your performance rating as well.
Yeah, that's really interesting. Will there be within JET any projects or events around Black History Month?
Yeah, definitely. We will have panel conversations. We will have connections with other partnerships. So quite a few things that we're organizing, also events in the office to make sure that we connect the people with each other. And I think that's always an important thing. How do you bring, one, the outside world in the organization, but also how do you make sure that we create more awareness so that we can action upon it? And one of the things that I really would love to do, and hopefully in the future that is possible, is one of the things is for me, how do we support the communities around us also? So that's on the one hand, the partnerships that we have, working with organizations that are very focused on, for instance, ethnicity, and in this case, specifically Black communities. But also, there are also Black-owned restaurants, for instance. How do we support those communities? And I would love to have, for instance, more insights on our platform so that you can easily connect to those organizations to also give them the opportunity, show themselves and support them as well.
Coming back to well-being, something you mentioned that is also part of your remit, where does well-being fit in with what you do and what we've discussed?
Yeah, so on the one hand, well-being is, I would say, part of an inclusive culture because it's, for me, very well connected to stepping into each other's world. And well-being is also a thing that is so important for an organization because the fact that you perform, how you perform in an organization, and especially organizations where they are focused on, for instance, high-performance cultures, is very directly connected to taking care of yourself as well, but also as an organization, making sure that we support the people and give the people the right tools to also invest in themselves. So for me, it's actually not that much different as ID&B in the sense that it impacts everything in the organization. So the people in the organization, the way how we drive business, but also actually our partners and our customers. And secondly, it's the same strategy that we actually need to take. It starts with leadership, leading by example. So I'm quite open, for instance, on that I go to the gym and sometimes really need to take care of my own well-being after a few very, very busy days, because otherwise I'm also not capable of still continuing that journey. And at the same time, it's also about creating more awareness, making our policies more in a way that it supports the well-being of our people. And at the same time, also again, sharing our story. How do these stories impact the decisions that we take in the organization?
Terence Gaimo, thank you very much for coming on We Are JET.
Thanks a lot, Ed.
Thank you for listening to We Are JET. If you'd like to know more about working at Just Eat Takeaway, go to careers.justeattakeaway.com. Our career website can also be found in our show notes. My name is Ed Palmer. Talk to you soon.